This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Well, I have to confess we're in a bit of a train wreck this morning. I mean, not practically. Everything's going beautifully. The liturgy is going just right. Everything is organized well. You won't believe how lovely everything is in Sumner's Hall after this is over. So that's not it. It's just this intersection between what we're doing this morning and what the text want us to think about. I mean, it's Welcome Home Sunday. This is when we got all of you to jam into one space. We invited all our friends in the community who are doing really important outreach work to come to here. We've invited our friends from Next to New to come so we can honor them. We've got all these things planned for you so you can learn all the different ways you can get involved in the life of the church. And we get to listen to Jesus be really, really scary. It's enough to make one want to write a strongly lettered word to the editor of the lectionary and say, don't you know that August the 17th is Welcome Home Sunday everywhere? Can't we have a different version of Jesus today? The one that's kind and loving, and save this one for when there's less people here. But here we are, and it's not just Jesus, it's Isaiah, it's the Psalm, it's even the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, writing about people who have the most difficult time in their faith and most difficult time in this world, and yet still trying to cling to their faith. It's a bit of a dilemma. But it's actually kind of true, isn't it? Doesn't this kind of feel like life right this minute? I mean, on the one hand, we live in our lives and it's doing well. We're excited about what's going on in the life of the church. There's really good, positive things that we can talk about. And yet it does sort of feel like the world has hitched its cart to the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Right? It does feel that way. Feels like things are fracturing in ways that are not normal. And the rapid run to distrust and hatred and malice and cruelty. So we're in this dilemma. I think it's so prevalent that recently Chris and I had the pleasure of spending a few days with some old friends on a holiday. And one of our friends is dealing with some significant cognitive decline. And so when you spent several days with her, you knew you were going to have five or six conversations over and over. And one of them, I mean, she was as gracious and hospitable and lovely as ever, and we reviewed these conversations, but one of her conversations was, is this the end of things? I mean, if that has made its way into the mind of someone with cognitive decline, then surely I'm not making this up. It kind of feels this way. So what do we do? What do we do with this catastrophic sort of train wreck of emotion and of the reality of the world, the competing realities of the world? Well, it seems like the Christian tradition has done about three things with this, and we could follow down the literalist track. I could gather those of you who are the most serious Bible scholars in the church, and we could gather, we could scour Holy Scripture, and we could find all the apocalyptic literature that's in there, all the things that speak to the apocalypse, to the end of time, to when things will finally come to an end or finally God will reign supreme and clearly on the earth. We could scour it. We could find all the details. We could put it on a chart. We could put it on a calendar. We could even pick a date when we think this is going to happen. We could do that. Many have in the past. Well, and outside of all the different reasons why that might be a terrible way to use Holy Scripture, the most obvious is everybody who's ever done that and put it on the calendar so far has been wrong. So that seems like folly. Another thing we could do is just interpret everything in Scripture that's like this through the lens of the Enlightenment. And it would say, well, this is an ancient text written to ancient people in an ancient time who were scared and who were uncertain about what's going to happen in their world, and is trying to give them hope, let them know that to be courageous, that God is coming, that things are going to work out. But it doesn't have any real bearing on our lives now. And we're like kind of through a psychotherapeutic lens to help with that, just to say if it helps you calm. You know, it's kind of a biblical version of box breathing, right? Just to get you to catch your breath a little bit. But it has no actual use for us in the world. Or we can do it the Anglican way. You know, the Episcopal way. We're not the only ones that do this, of course, but it is kind of one of our charisms, is that middle way. Where's the place in between those things that we feel like might be wrong-headed, that might be right-headed? Right? What is the way that we can do this? Well, we dig in to the there and then. We find out what was going on with them, and we figure out what they did with this. What did they do with apocalyptic imagery from Jesus that says, an angry Jesus who said, this will not go on forever? How did they take hope from that? How do we take that hope into the modern world? Because at the root of all apocalyptic literature is this notion. God is doing something. All the horrible things that you see going on, human beings are doing. And your hope will not be found there. God is doing something in the world. This is the most radical thing we can say as people of faith. And sometimes it's obvious what God is doing in the world, right? Sometimes when you bring 8 different communities, organizations in our community into church on the same Sunday, and we learn about what they're doing in the world, it is very obvious what God is doing. This is what God is doing. And you think about the hundreds of volunteers at Next to New that keep that massive, wonderful shop going all the time, the joy that's there, the fun, and the money that is raised to do this work. It is clear what God is doing. All the things that you're going to see us doing in the church, it is clear what God is doing. And then there are times when it is not clear at all. We look at the headlines, we look at the news, we look at all the pain and the sadness and sorrow in the world, and we go, what is happening? But underneath it all, apocalyptic literature says, God. And it invites people who read it to hitch their wagon, not to the horses of the apocalypse, but to God's grace. Hitch your wagon to what God is doing in the world. God. And to get to work doing work that is nothing short of apocalyptic action. Each apocalyptic passage in Holy Scripture is an invitation to apocalyptic action. And today, this is a call to apocalyptic action. Who knew that buying a couple of books and a backpack for elementary school children was apocalyptic work? Because by doing this, you say, God is doing something in the world, and I am part of that. This is not hard to figure out, y'all. Here's what we need. We need apocalyptic workers. We need 5 of you to serve as greeters. We're down on greeters right now. 5 of you to stand at the door, smile, tell people you're really happy to see them. This is not hard work. Drink your coffee first, come to work, do your thing. Make people feel welcome. We need 5 more people who will sign up for the usher corps. Who will greet people at this door? Give them a bulletin. Help them find a seat. Help them find their way to communion. Let us know if they need communion in the pew. Count the money when it's over. You're done. That's apocalyptic work. We need, I know, I'm getting there. Mark's like, don't forget, we need 5 new voices in the choir. Right? Yes? our friends who sing this beautiful, incredible music could use your voice to help. You do not have to be a voice major at UT to do this. Right? We need you. Who knew singing an anthem was apocalyptic work? The list goes on and on. Find Diane after this is over. There are over 40 outreach ministries in this church who can use your help. An hour a week, 2 hours a week, whatever you got. 40 hours a week. Rob will take you for 40, won't you, next to noon? Absolutely. Yeah, five. Any. All of it. Apocalyptic work. It is you and me saying, God. And these wonderful organizations who are here, I would assume you take volunteers too, yes? So people will meet you, right? Meet them. Find out what they're doing. Hitch your wagon to what God is doing in the world. There was an old saying in the South where I grew up that captured this. And it was one hand on the plow and your eyes on the horizon. Hands to the plow. Eye on the horizon. Hands to the plow because there's work to be done. There are people who need us now more than ever. And eyes on the horizon. Because God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.